commodity broker Gordy Kulowitz with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, it wasn't a particularly good week, but boy, we dodged a couple bullets with the jobs report. And what was it on Wednesday? The consumer price index or the interest rate, the Federal Reserve interest rate?
Yeah, the Fed announced what they're going to be doing, and they raised rates like they said. And actually, their statements afterwards are kind of neutrally, you know. But, you know, the problem then is we combine that with a big jobs number, and, you know, the marketplace got really freaked out by that. So from a grain standpoint, though, it could have been a lot worse. We did sell off for the week in the grains, you know, net. But corn, it didn't go into free fall. Our high for the week, we actually hit 688.5 again. That 688 mark has been a real tough one to get through. And we came down and actually sort of touched a key moving average at 71.5. And we're going to end the week around 77 or so. So we're kind of right smack in the middle of the range that we've been in for the last 2 weeks, but holding some key moving averages and whatnot along the way. Beans tended to back off. They had some of the strongest rallies and then some of the biggest sell-offs. I mean, Wednesday, they just clobbered the things. You know, we kind of made a high for the move. Again, the top of the trade range was back in January 18th, right after the crop report, 1548.5. And on Tuesday, we got up to 43.75. And then Wednesday morning, they beat them all the way back down to 1510.75. And since then, we've kind of rallied back, and we're going to finish off the week, call it, you know, somewhere in the low 1530, 32 range, down a little bit on the day. And then wheat's going to be down, call it 5 to 7 across the board today. And again, you know, looking at wheat, kind of the weak sister, but we had that reversal-y thing I mentioned a couple of weeks ago where we took out the trade range low, and then the next day we pop back into the range, and I said that's kind of a buy signal. Well, you know, we closed that day on the Chicago March at 734.5, and today we're at 56.75. So, I mean, not a screaming buy, but it's kind of been drifting up. And actually the last 4 days now, we're just barely closing over a key moving average, but we keep closing over that moving average. So that's been kind of an important little deal. So even though the market was wimpy, they actually bought it up enough. They rallied 6 cents off its low, and it still basically closed just a hair above that moving average. So chart-wise, all three of the grains, the key grains, look halfway okay. The loser, and that's probably what kept the lid on everything, was the bean oil. Export sales, again, for bean oil were only like 900 tons, which is just dismal. And we've been below a key moving average, and that rally midweek kept us underneath that average. And today they just clobbered it. Crude oil is getting hammered thanks to the jobs report, and so is the bean oil. And closing on its lows, basically down 188, right around 59. So we had one break here. If you look at the March, back in December we had 58.50 for a low. And that was a big reversal day. We ended up closing on that day at 61.47. But we got down there. And if you look at a bean oil chart, a lot of the rallies, in fact, I think almost all of them, have occurred when you had a reversal day. You made a new low and closed higher, and that kicked off a really good rally. So, you know, at least we're set up for that now. If we open weaker on Monday and confirm up, that would set that up. But, you know, there are a lot of ifs there to that statement. So the big winner, though, for the week was the bean meal, 496.5. We hit $5.04 this morning, so bean meal getting very pricey. And again, you know, that was a situation that was occurring for a long time. While bean meal was flopping around in the $4 range, prices kept grinding higher and were record high in China. And eventually the market finally caught fire and kind of caught up with reality. So there is hope that the other markets might be able to figure that out along the way.
And it was encouraging, too, to see corn export sales really pick up for a change.
Yeah, and again, we're getting estimates out for the crop report next week, which is kind of early. And, you know, they're not looking for big changes. Corn, they're looking for the carrot to go up by about 20 million. Beans, carrot stays unchanged. And the wheat goes up by about 10 or 15 million because they always seem to raise wheat carryout. World carrot kind of doesn't do much. But the interesting bit I thought was the average guess looks for the corn crop to go up by 3/10 of a ton in Brazil and the bean crop to go up by 1/10 of a ton. The 53.1, and just about everybody in South America is dropping the crops. So, you know, sometimes you got to wonder if there's a little bit of a setup in some of these estimates where, you know, if you drop them a little bit and the USDA drops them, it's no big deal. But if you raise them and then the USDA drops them or even leaves them unchanged, they become a little bit friendly. So sometimes I think there's a little bit of game playing that goes on with these numbers. They are looking to drop Argentina. They drop it by about 4 million tons on corn and about the same 4 million metric tons on the beans. That would still leave them well above some of the local estimates down there. But that would be still be a pretty good drop for the USDA, and it's really unusual for them to drop it by much more than that. So we'll see how that goes. So it's another case where they could maybe drop Brazil by a little bit and then drop Argentina by less. But even if they do, I think the market knows that there are more cuts coming.
And the livestock this last week, a bit of flopping around there too, wasn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely some flopping going on in the livestock. I think some of it is the cattle just getting up at some awfully lofty levels. And we kind of broke out at the end of the week. Surprising, even with everything else that's going on. Cattle at the end of the day had a little bit of a short covering spike and ended up making a new high for the run. So we started off the week pretty good. Big up day on Monday. And cattle were up 250 points. We gave it a little bit back on Wednesday, and then we've had a big up day yesterday and followed through today. So you look at the nearby cattle, you go to a weekly chart, this is about as high as we've been in quite some time. You have to go back on a monthly chart to 2014 when cattle ultimately peaked out at about 171.97. So, and if you look at it, a monthly chart, we bottomed in 2020, the COVID stuff in spring and March, and we get all the way down to 81.45. And we've been on kind of a tear ever since. And again, if you look at a channel, we're basically really keeping a really narrow channel going, climbing. So I'm not sure how much farther they can go, but they're kind of getting up there. And if you look at the hogs, we've had an awful lot of spreading between the cattle and hogs. And again, they broke on Wednesday like everybody else did. You can just see how all these charts, everything broke on Wednesday. And then they rebounded for the week, so they still end up a little weaker for the week. But that also puts the cattle-hog spread out to 77.65. And it looks like potentially this week that spread may, it's tentative, might have put in a bit of a turning point. We had a big spike up to 79, and then it backed off. And we have been kind of flopping around since then. So if you're interested in that spread, see if you can pull up a monthly chart of that spread. It seems like every time it gets up here in the upper 60 range, it tends to back off. So this market action the last couple of days is going to be interesting. So next week, we'll see how that spread goes. But we're really at some extreme numbers on that one. And, we've been seeing the funds buying the cattle, selling hogs. So if we can ever see them go the other way in that spread, that could be the real interesting trade for the next couple of weeks.
And with that jobs report interpreted as too good, I was worried about what would happen to the stock market today. But that kind of hung in there okay too, didn't it, as we talked Friday afternoon?
It is. The Dow was down 200 almost instantly after the report. It's been holding down. We actually got plus a while, but it's been down about 130 for quite a while now. The big move of the dollar is up 115. We're still holding under 103. We're at 102.70, so still way off our highs. And the bonds, even though they're down 120, are holding kind of an important moving average. So long-term treasuries, they broke off really hard when the report came out, and they got down to support. They've been above this thing pretty much since since the Fed did their last deal in January. They've been holding above this average, and they keep coming down and basically touching that moving average. And we did that again this morning. We came really close to it, and we're still on the lows. So next week could be interesting to see how we hold. If we hold that number, interest rates, T-bonds actually made their lows back in October. So since the time, the actual interest rate on Treasury bonds has actually gone down. A lot of these things are market rates. The Fed funds basically deals with bank to bank. So in Treasury bond numbers, they've actually come down. So if T-bonds break this moving average, you would think there'd be a little bit of sell activity coming on there, and then interest rates could move up a little bit. So a lot of markets will be kind of in really interesting territories to come in next week.
Commodity broker Gordy Kolovets.